verse 1. Then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, go and pour out the bowls of the wrath of God on the earth. So the first went and poured out his bowl upon the earth, and a foul and a loathsome sore came upon the man who had the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. Then the second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it became blood as of a dead man, and every living creature in the sea died. Then the third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and the springs of water, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the water saying, you are righteous, O Lord, the one who is and who was and who is to come, or rather who is to be, because you have judged these things, for they have shed the blood of the saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink, for it is their just due. And I heard another from the altar saying, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgment. Then the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and power was given to him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemy the name of God, who has power over this plague, and they did not repent and give him glory. Then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became of darkness, and they gnaw at the tongues because of the pain. They blaspheme the God of heaven because of their pain and their sore, and did not repent of their deeds. Then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up, so that the way of the kings from the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are spirits of demons performing signs, which go out to the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keep his garment, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And they gathered them together to the place called in Hebrew Armageddon. Then the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the sea, and a loud voice came out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, it is done. And there were noises and thunderings and lightning, and there was a great earthquake, such a mighty and great earthquake as had not occurred since men were on the earth. Now the great city was divided into three parts, and the city of the nation fell, and great Babylon was remembered before God, to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Then every island fled away, and the mountains were not found, and great hail from heaven fell upon men, each hail about the weight of a talent. Men blaspheme God because of the plague of the hail, since that plague was exceedingly great. Thank you. Let's pray. Father, as we come into this particular chapter 16 of the book of Revelation, Lord, we just see your wrath being poured upon planet Earth. So I pray, Father, as we go through this chapter, I ask for understanding. I ask for a reverential fear of God to be imparted in each one of us, that we may walk our ways in a very wise way, and that we may conduct ourselves that is worthy of your calling. Lord, we know the second coming of Jesus is drawing nigh, and I pray that you prepare this church and other churches for that day of reckoning. We look forward to your coming because, Lord, you are going to rule and reign on this planet Earth for 1,000 years thereafter. So, Holy Spirit, help us to prepare as that bride before you, without spot and blemish, that we may, Lord, in these days to come, win souls for your kingdom. So I pray, Father, as you anoint the lips of your servant to speak, and that anoint the ears of the people to hear. And those who have ears, let them hear, that they may be ready for your coming. So in Jesus' name, we pray and we ask. Amen. Amen. For those who are not here, last week I started, I resumed the series of sermon. I resumed the series of sermon on the book of Revelation. And last week, I gave a summary of chapter 1 to chapter 14. And I also covered, I gave a running commentary of chapter 15, verse by verse. And so this morning, I'm going to continue with Revelation chapter 16. Now, if you are lost in terms of where we are, how it fits within the overall context, you can order a copy of the message from Brother Ching Hua, who is attending to this projector now. And it will be ready within, perhaps within a week or two. And so, today my focus will be on Revelation chapter 16, the seven bowl judgment. And this will take place in the last 3.5 years of tribulation. Now you can show the chart. Thank you. So as you can see the chart, over the last 5 or 6 years, I've covered many chapters, right from chapter 1 to chapter, chapter 15. And just to place you in context, from chapter 12 onwards to, in fact, chapter 18, just the last chapter before the second coming of the Lord Jesus mentioned in Revelation chapter 19. And all these events here from chapter 12 takes place in the last 3.5 years. All right, so this morning I'm going to, with that kind of that time frame of understanding, now I'm going to give you a running commentary of chapter 16, verse by verse. All right, verse 1 and verse 2 says that, I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, go and pour out the bowls of the wrath of God on the earth. Now, so the first question that I'd like to ask is this, why is this called a bowl judgment compared with the trumpet judgment? Now, the answer is actually quite simple. A trumpet is a warning, whereas a bowl is not a warning. They are simply being poured out. So the wrath of God are being poured out. The previous trumpet judgments are trouble that help the people to turn to God early. And in the trumpet judgment, mercy is hidden in those judgments. And the bowl judgment, on the other hand, are very, very severe. Because justice will be administered upon the wicked on planet Earth. Now, in addition to what has been said, once we reach the midpoint of the 7 years tribulation, the fate of the three groups of Christians are set for the next 3.5 years, as you can see in the chart here. Now, as you know, in Revelation chapter 12, there are three groups of people. The first group of people is what we call the man-child. The man-child is not just a person, but man-child is a company of people, just like it is a compound singular word, just like the word family. Family is not just one person, at least there are two or more if they're children. And a nation is a singular word, it's not just one person, but, you know, company of people. And so the word man-child, the first connotation is you must get rid of the singular get rid of this notion that it's just a particular person, but it is a company of people. This man-child, as stated in Revelation chapter 12, is translated into heaven. They are the first fruit harvest. And then the second group of Christians is what we call the woman. And this is the glorious bride of Christ. And this comprises the company of overcomers. And they were ushered into the wilderness to be protected and to be fed by God for 3.5 years. And then the third group of people, it mentions that these are the rest of the offspring, and they are carnal and worldly Christians, and they will be left behind to go through the great tribulation of 3.5 years. So now that you have this thing in context, we can move on to the other passage. So at this particular point, the midpoint of the 7-year tribulation, the satanic trinity would have secured almost full control of the whole world. And then Antichrist would have decreed that no one can buy or sell except with the mark of the beast. This is clearly written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 16 to verse 17. He says that he caused both great and small, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive the mark of the beast on their right hand or on their forehead, so that no one may buy or sell except those ones with the mark of the beast or the number 666. So this means that without that mark, you cannot secure any food supply or even medical services. And the mark will be electronically stamped or implanted, you know, in the forehead or on their forehand. So out of survival, when the time comes, I would say a high percentage of the world population would have taken up this mark. And anyone who refused to take up this mark will be hunted down and will be forced to take up the mark. If he or she refuses, he or she will be executed. And so verse 2 goes on to say, so the first went and poured out this bowl upon the earth, and a foul and a loathsome sore came upon the men who had the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. So bowl judgment number 1, a loathsome sore. Like the 10 plagues in Egypt in the book of Exodus, all the 7 plagues will be supernatural acts of God. There will be no scientific explanation of all these plagues. And while the whole world experienced the brunt of the plague, the church ushered by God into the wilderness will be protected from them. Now this has happened before in the book of Exodus. If you read carefully, from the 4th plague onwards, while the Egyptians were inflicted with the plague, the Israelites were protected. So it is not something that is new. It is not a new thing. And then after the first bowl has been poured out, ugly and painful boils and sore came upon those who took up the mark of the beast. Only on those who took up the mark of the beast. And since they like to worship Satan's and like to take up his mark, God has decided to let them have many more marks of boils on their body. This is the rationale of that particular judgment. Now, the foul marks serve to reveal the ugly and the evil nature of Satan that they worship. And so you begin to see the law of retribution working out in this bowl judgment. And those who rejected the mark of the beast will be immune. And this will infuriate those who have taken the mark. And they will take out their anger and resentment against for those who did not take up the mark, and also against the Jews. Now at this point, the Jews will refuse to pledge allegiance to the beast. Not because they have become Christian, but because the Antichrist has launched a persecution and a campaign against them. They will be hunted down, they will be arrested, tried, and then executed for not taking the mark of 666. And so by the end of the second tribulation, there's another portion of the Bible that prophesies that 2/3 of the Jewish population will be killed, and only 1/3 will be saved when they will confess that Christ is indeed the Messiah and they ask and plead for his return. Now, 1/3 of the Jewish world population will only survive this great persecution. And I just Googled it this morning. There is about 15 million Jews in the year 2015. About 15 million. And if you count one third, that means two thirds will be wiped out, will be killed. At least 10 million of the Jews will be executed. And only about 5 million will be left. Now, where is this prophecy? If you can turn with me to Zechariah chapter 13, please. And we'll read from verse 8 to verse 9. Zechariah chapter 13, verse 8 to verse 9. All right, Zechariah chapter 13, verse 8 to verse 9. It says that it shall come to pass in all the land, says the Lord, that two-thirds in it shall be cut off and die, but one-third shall be left in it. And verse 9, I will bring the one-third through the fire, will refine them as silver is refined, and test them as gold is tested. They will call on my name, and I will answer them. I will say, this is my people, and each one will say, the Lord is my God. And so that is this prophecy. And we have to, and that is the reason, as I said before, you know, for century and century, you know, there is always this hatred against the Jew. And this is none other than that is inspired by Satan behind the scene. Let's get back to Revelation chapter 16, verse 3. Then the second angel poured his bowl on the sea, and it became blood as of a dead man. And every living creature in the sea died. And so, second bowl judgment, the water, sea water, became blood. While in the previous trumpet judgment number 2, one-third of the sea water turned into blood. In this particular bowl judgment number 2, all the sea water were turned into blood. Now, bowl judgment number 2 will kill every creature in the sea, and it will pollute the sea by turning it into blood. Now, one can only imagine how awful it will smell for the next couple of years. Seafood supply will be curtailed. There will be crabs, lobsters, fish, so on and so forth. This is going to be a great disaster of global scale. And the ocean that only covered 71% of the Earth's surface, and it contains 97% of the planet's water. Now, because all sea water has become blood, water purification by desalination will become far more problematic. If I can recall the figure right, I think in WA, about 40% of our water supply actually come from water purification by desalination. And so you can see how it will affect the water supply throughout the different parts of the world. And then verse 4 to verse 7 goes on to say, then the third angel pour out his bowl on the rivers and the spring of water, and they become blood. And I heard the angels of the water saying, you are righteous, O Lord, the one who is and who was and who is to be, because you have judged these things, for they have shed the blood of the saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink, for it is their just due. And I heard another from the altar saying, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgment. So bowl judgment number 3, the land waters become blood. Now, as the world turned inland to find more drinking water from the rivers and the lakes, they were about to console themselves. And then come these third angels, they pour out the third bowl, and then the rivers and the spring water inland become blood. While the third trumpet judgment contaminated one-third of the inland water supply, now the third bowl judgment turned all the rivers and all the spring into blood. And so if you go to the kitchen and the bathroom, blood will gush out from the tap. You go to the lakes, you go to the reservoir, and you go to the rivers, nothing but blood will be seen. At least, this will be a very serious problem, because limited fresh water are available to drink. And at least 60% of our body is made up of water. And our body cell need water to function. And water lubricates our joint, it regulates our body temperature, and it helps to flush out the waste. And even the healthy person cannot last longer than a few days without water. Now, just before anyone thinks that God is unjust, there are two who testify that God's act is just. And one of them is the angel of water, specified in this Bible. The other one is a martyr from the golden altar in heaven. Now, how do I know that he's a martyr? Because if you read, you remember Revelation chapter 6, there are many saints who died for their faith. They were martyred on this earth. They were killed by wicked people. And when they ascended to heaven, they occupied this particular space called the altar of incense. And in Revelation chapter 6, and there was this cry from this martyr. He said, "When, Lord, are you going to avenge for the blood that we shed?" And then the reply from heaven, he said, wait a little longer until all those who are, all the martyred, the full number are counted for, and then God is going to avenge for their sacrifice. And so in this situation, there was this testimony coming from them. And they say that these people deserve this judgment. And the reason that was given was, of course, countless believers in Christ, since the day of Abel, had their blood spilled. And many, many more believers will be slaughtered by Antichrist during their tribulation period. And since the wicked are so bloodthirsty, God decided to give them blood to drink in return. And again, the law of sowing and reaping is in operation here. And it is their just due. So all these things are not random. This is, you know, there is certain law that is being in operation. And so the angel and the martyr testify, true and righteous are God's judgment. And by then, the fresh water will be critically in short supply. And then verse 8 to verse 9 says, "Then the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and power was given to him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God who has power over this plague, and they did not repent and gave him glory." In summary, bowl judgment number 4, scorching sun. Now, those who had taken the mark of the beast thought that perhaps they can look to the rain to alleviate the water supply problem. Then this fourth angel poured out this bowl on the sun. And this bowl judgment would trigger a strange solar phenomenon that will even confound the scientists. Sun was created when? On the fourth day of creation, to be a servant to sustain life. Now the sun will turn its fury on the wicked in the last 3.5 years. While the trumpet number 4, judgment curtail 1/3 of the sun, which is the main light source, bowl judgment number 4 will affect the sun by increasing the temperature to the point that mankind is scorched from extremely hot weather. Now, recently, scientists have been taking a keen interest in analyzing solar storms or solar flare. It says that a big solar flare that erupted on the sun could upset the protective layer over planet Earth, and also it can cause harmful solar rays to pass through the atmosphere. And also he says big solar flare can also generate solar shockwave that can disturb the electromagnetic fields on Earth. And this can disable even the satellite, and it can what we call knock out the electrical grid system on Earth for an extended period of time. Whatever it is, this bold judgment on the sun will bring about scorching heat on the earth, and the scorching heat can cause what we call heat stroke, and it will cause the sores that were inflicted previously to be even more painful. And so there will be relief at night, or rather little relief at night, because it will be difficult to rest and to sleep. And some may retreat to the air-conditioned building or rooms, but it will only offer temporary relief. Now, there will be severe drought during this 3.5 years period, just as in the days of Elijah. You remember the story of Elijah. So this is happening again. Water supply will be so scarce, and it will be need to be used with extreme restraint. Drinkable water can only be obtained through very extensive purification treatment process, because all the water sources have become blood, and life will be maddening. And one would think that after experiencing all these unprecedented disasters in the bowl judgment, it would cause people to soften their heart and to turn to God and repent. However, the sun that softens the wax is also the sun that hardens the clay. So in the days of Pharaoh, if you remember, after each plague, Pharaoh hardened his heart further. An evil person will not repent even is given grace and mercy. They will abuse the grace and mercy given to them. And when they are inflicted with wrath, they even become more wicked, and they will curse God to his face. This is what happens. The Bible says, and even just about a week ago, I went to the bank and deposited some money. And the teller was, you know, very slow. And then there was this one guy behind me, very rough a person. And then I was waiting there patiently. And for the next 50 minutes, he was swearing and cursing at the teller behind me. You know, these are the so-called, these people, they like to swear and they like to curse at God. And this will happen, you know, during the last 3.5 years. They will not turn to God, but they will keep on swearing and cursing at God. Verse 10 to verse 11. Then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of beasts, and his kingdom became full of darkness. And they gnaw their tongues because of the pain. They blaspheme the God of heaven because of their pain and their sore, and they did not repent of their deeds. So bold judgment number 5, darkness and pain. That's a summary statement. There were 2 temporary blackouts since the opening of the first seal. If you can remember when the first incident was the breaking of the sixth seal, it says that there was a great earthquake, the moon turned to a red, and the sun was darkened. That was incident number 1. Incident number 2, there was a trumpet judgment number 5 in Revelation chapter 9. It says that the bottomless pit was opened, and then smoke arose out of the pit. Great smoke arose out of the pit like a great furnace. And then it says that the sun and the air were darkened because of that smoke. And then the demonic locusts began to sting men like a scorpion and torment them for 5 months. So that was the second incident where there was a thick blanket of smoke that covered the earth that caused that blackout. And the third time was this, when the fifth bowl is being poured out, and it will cause darkness to come first where? On the throne of the beast, and then later on the other parts of his kingdom. Now throne refers to his capital. There are 2 capitals that you have to bear in mind. The beast political and commercial capital will be at Babylon. More on this in 1 or 2 weeks time. And then the second capital is what we call his religious capital. This is at Jerusalem. If you remember, he set up his image there. It will be worshipped. And so the Antichrist and his prophet may think that they are secure in his political capital of Babylon. Perhaps with the best medical attention, both human and demonic, and with the best personal water purification system and air conditioning living quarters, they thought they are safe. Then God's next strikes the throne of Antichrist at Babylon and turn it into darkness. How does God do it? Possibly through two ways. First, he strikes by disabling the power grid of Babylon through a big solar flare. Remember, I said before that the solar flare can generate a shockwave that causes electromagnetic disturbances on Earth. And this will disable and will knock out the electrical grid of Babylon and for some period of time. And then later on, I'm sure it will also shut down the water purification plant, which runs on electricity. Then second thing is, there will be also an extended period of eclipse of the sun during the day for X number of days. And so in the fourth trumpet judgment previously, 1/3 of the day became dark. And in this judgment bowl, bowl judgment number 4, it is now complete darkness. And since Antichrist and his regime is so consumed with the work of darkness, they will now be inflicted with darkness. And it starts with Babylon, and then later this darkness will spread to the other parts of his kingdom. Now, these circumstances are not unlike in the days of Pharaoh and Egypt. And Moses stretched forth his hands, and then what happened? And then there was a total darkness that covered Egypt for 3 days. And so God will humiliate Antichrist just as he has humbled the pagan gods that they worshipped in Egypt in the days of Moses. And so the Lord will show that he is the Lord God Almighty, and he rules over the universe. And so the cumulative effect of the painful sore, the scarcity of drinking water and food, the intense heat, and now the electrical and daylight blackout, it will bring about unbearable misery. And so they chew their tongue because of the pain and the sore, and they again curse and swear at God. Now all these plagues have the effect of hardening the Lord's enemy in their rebellion. And I just want to draw a very simple application here. We too have a choice when we are faced with disaster or when unfortunate things happen to us. We can blame God and dig ourselves deeper and deeper into resentment and hatred, or we can seek him in the midst of these circumstances and ask for his grace and his mercy to go through them. The choice really belongs to us. And of course, the best choice is always to seek God for his grace and mercy. Coming back to Revelation 16, verse 12 to verse 16, it says that the sixth angel pour out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up, so that the ways of the kings from the east might be prepared. So, bowl judgment number 6, river Euphrates dried up, as you can see in that picture. After the temporary blackout, we don't know how long it is, it will be, this sixth angel pour out his bowl on great river Euphrates. The water of river Euphrates will dry up to prepare for the kings from the east. What does that mean? Now, God can dry up rivers in different ways. He can cause someone to, a man to shut up, or rather shut the dam at the upper stream. And, or he can cause, or he can perform a miracle. Method number two. And the third way is he can command nature to do its job. Now, the reason why I say this is because when I do a bit of research on this, recently, because of the ISIS attack on different parts of Iraq, and there was a river that flowed through, of course, Iraq, that is River Euphrates, and I was, I read the news, and it said that when they were being hard-pressed, because of this air bombardment, then suddenly they turned to the dam and they tried to cut off all the water supply that is, you know, flowing down to River Euphrates. So what I'm trying to say is, I don't think that is how God wants to dry up River Euphrates. Now, in this case, I think He commands nature to do the job, because there was a scorching sun and a drought for 3.5 years. Now, this will surely dry up the flow of water. And so this drying up process will be for the purpose of making it easier for the Antichrist to assemble his forces from the countries of the east to cross this river and to prepare for an attack on Israel at Armageddon. Now, interestingly, if you study the Old Testament carefully, the drying up of water has always been a sign associated with the deliverance of God's people and the judgment of God's enemy. I'll give you a few examples. In the book of Exodus, if you can remember, the Red Sea was parted and it was dry. And then the whole nation of Israel crossed. And that was the deliverance of the people from the slavery under Egypt. Second incident. And after the wandering, you know, they came, Joshua was appointed as the leader, and they came to this river Jordan. And then as soon as the priest stepped on the river with the ark, and then the water receded, and then God cut off, or rather hold the water in the upstream, dry up the land, and enable Israel to cross into the promised land of Canaan. Example number three. In the book of Daniel, the Persian king Cyrus was about to take the city of stronghold of Babylon. And Babylon sits on the river Euphrates. Just imagine, you know, we have a strong fortress, double-layered wall, very, very thick wall. Just imagine this is the city of Babylon. It's all, you know, surrounded by thick wall. There's no way to penetrate Babylon. But there is a river that flows under and through below Babylon. And then what happened? So King Cyrus could not find an entry into this impregnable city. And so he came up with this brilliant idea. I believe God gave him the idea. He dried up the river that flowed through and under the city. How did he do it? He ordered his troops to dig a channel upstream and to divert the water of River Euphrates so that it no longer flows through under what they call Babylon, in the sense that it will dry up. And then as soon as it's dry up, and while he was doing these things, King Belshazzar and his officer, they drank and they party and they feasted. And while at the same time, the army of Cyrus, they were lowering the water of River Euphrates. And then the dry riverbed was later used as a gate of entry into the city of Babylon. And then this led to the shocking fall of Babylon. Now, all these incidents that are recorded in the Bible are prophetic, which means to say you have to watch out for this sign. And River Euphrates will be dried up in the last days, just before the final collapse of the Babylonian world system. The kingdoms of the world will become the kingdoms of our God. Now, interestingly, Many years ago, I was looking at the Australian scene, during the 10-year period from 1997 to 2007. The Australia Murray-Darling Basin area were drying up, if you can remember. You go back and read the news. And they were desperate. And the Australian government had to implement many measures to mitigate the situation. Now, the world river system are all showing signs of drying up because of drought. These are just preliminary signs, brothers and sisters. It is only a matter of time that this will happen to River Euphrates. And then I go on to verse 13. And it says, then I saw three unclean spirits, like frogs, coming out of the mouth of dragon, out of the mouth of beast, out of the mouth of false prophet. For they are spirits of demons, performing signs, which go out to the kings of the earth and of the world, whole world, to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keep his garment, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And they gathered them together to the place called in Hebrew, Armageddon. Now here, again, there is an interlude between bowl judgment number 6 and number 7. It explains the reason for the drying up of the river Euphrates. Satan is planning to mobilize the whole world, almost the whole world, to gather at the valley of Armageddon to attack Israel. This is the place where the final World War III will be fought. And then this river Euphrates has always been a barrier for big troops from the east to cross to attack Israel. Now, if Antichrist can wipe out Jews, he can prevent Jesus from coming back, because Jesus said that he will not come back unless Israel confess that he is the Messiah and plead for his return. And therefore, Satan, being very, very legalistic, he wants to hold Jesus to his word. And therefore, he has this campaign behind the scene, mobilizing the world, all the countries of the world, to come against the Jews, so as to maximize his success. And so, how does he do it? He will send out these three demonic spirits, like frogs, it says. One coming out from the Satan, the other one coming out from the beast, who is the Antichrist, and the third one coming from the false prophet. And they will go around the world to sell the story, to hoodwink the world leaders. Now, frogs are symbolic of unclean animals and evil spirit. And these three spirits will go around the world. They will perform miracle signs and wonders, and they will deceive many countries, and they will form a world coalition to come against Israel at the plain of Megiddo, at Armageddon. Now, Megiddo, Jezreel Valley, and Armageddon, they are the same thing. Next time when you go to Israel, when they show you Jezreel Valley, that is where, you know, the battle of Armageddon will be fought. And so here, the satanic counterfeit trinity, they were able to mobilize millions of troops coming from the east. And then at that moment, River Euphrates has just dried up. And it makes the crossing of this big number of troops far more easier. And so the Antichrist would have thought, even nature is working in his favor. And little did they know that God is gathering them, not for a great battle, but for a mass death execution. And so, Megiddo plain at Armageddon is about 30 kilometers by 20 kilometers. Now, I come from Singapore. That is about the size of Singapore. The whole island is, you know, almost flat. That is Midigo Plain, Armageddon. And because of its strategic location, Midigo has been the site of 30 over historical battle. And the French general Napoleon once said of the plain, of this plain, he said, there is no other place in the whole world more suited for a big scale war than this. So we come back to verse 15. And there was an interlude. There was a statement made by Jesus. He says, behold, I am coming as a thief. He said, blessed is he who watches and keeps his garment, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Jesus is encouraging those who are still alive then to continue to resist the pressure of taking up the mark of 666 so as to keep his garment of salvation. He is coming back very soon and unexpectedly as a thief. At this juncture, it must be noted that while the Antichrist almost had full control over the whole world, some pockets of lands and country are outside his jurisdiction. What are the countries? They are Edom, Moab, and Ammon. That's a word that was used in Daniel chapter 11, 41. You read that particular verse and passage. It is present-day Jordan. God protected this country to serve as a place of refuge for the many Israelites that will run away from the beast in the last days. And a remote place and a wilderness in southern Jordan called Bosra. And they think Bosra is in present-day Petra. This is the place that God will shelter the Israelites. Now, Petra currently is the tourist spot in Jordan. If you visit Jordan and Israel, this is one of the few places that they will bring you. And when you go there, you can see for yourself why it is an excellent place of refuge. I have not been to Petra myself personally. I've been to Israel, but I've seen many photographs of Petra in my research. And as I said, when you reach there, you will find out why it is an excellent place of refuge. Verse 17 to verse 19. Then the seventh angel poured out his bow in the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, it is done. And there were noises and thunderings and lightning, and there was a great earthquake, such a mighty and a great earthquake as had not occurred since men were on the earth. Now the great city was divided into three parts, and the city of the nation fell, and great Babylon was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. So, bowl judgment number 7. Earth is utterly shaken, as you can see in this picture. And there are huge hailstones. So, when the seventh bowl judgment is executed, a loud voice came from God's throne room, shouting, it is done. Does it sound familiar? Now, at the close of Jesus' ministry, at the end of 3.5 years, at the cross, there was this word, it is finished. The work of salvation was fully accomplished then. Now, at the close of the great tribulation after 3.5 years, came this word, it is done. The work of vengeance is completed. One speaks of mercy, the other speaks of judgment. Then came great noise of thunder and lightning, and is followed by the most powerful worldwide earthquake, not isolated by worldwide earthquake that the earth has ever experienced. Everything on earth that can be shaken will be shaken. And the great city of Jerusalem, taken captive by the satanic trinity and made as the religious capital, it was going to split into three parts. And all the cities of all the other nations, therefore, fall like a pack of cards. The political capital of Babylon received the most devastating damage. And details of this is written in Revelation chapter 18, which we'll cover shortly. And then verse 20 to verse 21 says, then every island fled away, and the mountains were not found, and great hail from heaven fell upon men, and each hailstone about a weight of a talent. Men blaspheme God because of the plague of the hail, since that plague was exceedingly great. The great global earthquake is so severe that every city, every mountain and island on planet will be leveled and they will disappear. And so the biggest earthquake, global earthquake from below isn't bad enough. God going to continue to bombard the wicked with the biggest hailstone from above. And it is about 100 pounds came pounding on the evil. How big is that hailstone? That picture is not an understatement. 100 pounds, that is a talent, is about 100 pounds. And definitely is a few times, two or three times bigger than a basketball. And so, these are the scene of the end days. It will be global, except for the areas occupied by the church and Israel in the wilderness. And the wicked will still remain unrepentant. They again swear and curse God to His face. And this global quake and shaking will totally change the boundary and the landscape of the world beyond our recognition. And the map of the world have been totally redrawn. And this is to prepare for the millennium. Because before Jesus takes over the earth, He wants to tear down this place. He wants to clear the site before He rebuild and renovate this whole earth for His millennium rule. This is how He wants to deal with your life and my life. After we become Christian, He wants to clear all the rubbish that is in us, in our life, so that He can rebuild anew in us. Chapter 16 today is not the last chapter before Jesus coming. There are two more chapters regarding the fall of Babylon, regarding that particular harlot, regarding the beast during this period of 3.5 years. But today, I will stop here, and in my next sermon, I will cover chapter 17. I trust that by going through this series of sermons, it has helped you to unlock and to understand the many mysteries that were found in the book of Revelation. Can I get the musicians to come forward, please? Thank you. So, may you be blessed as we go through this series of sermon. Amen.